So another sleepy Thursday. Are you all caught up on Pokemon?
Yeah, I'm just trying to refill my balls.
See,
Yep. Yep.
They have pills for that, you know.
And you can get them cheaply from Canada. So the internet tells me when I'm watching quality programming.
Or searching where to get pills.
No, they just pop up on banner ads on the side of my quality programming.
Yeah, I don't think Larry's searching out the pills specifically for the pill sick.
No. Thankfully, not an issue I deal with yet, so, yeah.
Let's talk about anything else.
I see you didn't beat Zelda yet.
No, man, it's a pretty big game. I haven't even been everywhere yet.
Excellent.
You can get sidetracked just like... There's something in the distance I want to go look at. I'm just going to spend like half an hour just walking towards that. Like, get sidetracked by all these other things, but then like get back on task. And
Wind Waker had that effect.
Yeah. I think that's a sign of the quality that went into the game world, that just walking around finding stuff is entertaining in and of itself. And yeah, you're right. Wind Waker would be always cool to like come across some little island or some sort of ghost ship or
right, yeah, and
a giant squid or something. This game kind of has that only more so because you kind of run into like random bosses in the overworld and fantastical sights and whatnot.
Something to that particular sector, you know. Yeah, but there's basically like hidden treasure chests and stuff like that. You know, so. I know that was, it was more an effort of getting your wallet. Your bigger rupee bag to buy stuff than actually you know, being able to get the money. You know, you can grind out the money relatively easy. But, yeah, I think we are, but something to that effect. Those of you at home have noticed probably quite a change in the audio back and forth.
That's because we're professional.
Well, I'm just trying to give you options here, see what you like best. But for some reason, it seems like you are not coming in very well. And there's no way I'm not posting and publishing the bit about Adam's balls.
Well, we won't want people to miss out on that.
Right?
That's what our audience has come to expect, that type of...
That type level of professionalism and quality. Yeah.
The sad thing is, I'm not even kidding. Like, that's a completely accurate statement. Yeah, oh well.
But anyway, I am your host, Lawrence of America. This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 160.
Nice.
With me today is...
Taylor.
Adam 616.
So is that the one you're going with? I feel like you got to pick one after a while.
Adam 616?
Yeah, there's an unoriginal now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that put you in the Marvel Universe, though?
Yeah.
But we're not in the Marvel Universe. We'd have a lot of cool shit.
It's a multiverse.
Adam 615.
I can now. I can. I get it.
But
that's our area code. It was cute. Just trust it.
Well, maybe we should just call you Dependable Adam, since other Adam didn't bother showing up.
Yeah, Adam Normal.
Who's normally here.
I guess we could change him to Adam Regular. High fiber diet and all.
You keep picking the worst things to talk about today.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
You could do something like Ultimate Adam or Uncanny Adam.
Ooh. I'd like to think of myself as such. Yeah. That feels nice.
Uncanny's a nice, you know. Yeah. I feel like a pretty neutral term, honestly.
So, are we vetoed Uncanny? Is that what we're saying?
I'm not vetoing anything. I mean, I never picked Uncanny.
I would say Ultimate Adam, implying the alternate universe, weird, kooky version. Means you can be killed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. During sweeps when we're looking for ratings.
And replaced by a 15-year-old teenage girl. Like, yeah. It happens, dude.
I'm trying to think of a specific example where that happened. I'm kind of drawing a blank at the moment.
I mean, Iron Man. Yeah, the new Iron Man is a... A 15-year-old girl from MIT. Yep.
Okay, well, that's actually true.
Yeah?
I haven't been reading it, mostly because I can't get on board with the name Riri. I don't have any other problems with, getting some more diversity in the Marvel Universe. That's a cool thing, but Riri sounds like a freaking toddler's name. It's not something you should go by when you're 15.
I dig it. It's slang. It's good.
Whatever.
You figure, someone at MIT would want a little more professional sounding name, but maybe I'm just stereotyping.
Oh, but she doesn't fit in with MIT. She did
never mind.
She did like blow up her dorm on her way out, apparently. I was still reading Invincible Iron Man when that happened.
So is she an arsonist?
No, she stole
just a kooky prankster.
She stole a bunch of equipment from a lab to make her own Iron Man suit.
She accidentally blew it out.
Oh no, she shot out the wall and flew away. Her way of dropping out, I guess, and she was probably going to get expelled for stealing from the lab anyway.
I'm pretty sure you get expelled for shooting out a wall. Not necessarily for blowing up a chem lab. I mean, at least I don't think the people that blew up my chem lab in high school got expelled.
Well, in the Marvel Universe, Dr. Doom got expelled from Empire State University for
blowing shit up. I don't remember. I don't remember if he did it in a lab or in a dormitory, but he tried to create a machine to contact hell, and it blew up because he made a minor miscalculation, and he wouldn't listen to Reed Richards when he pointed it out.
Huh.
So, a bit of Dr. Doom backstory for you. So there is precedent, though, for so blowing shit
Dr.
up.
Dr. Doom and Reed Richards, and they both went to the same school.
As did Peter Parker. They all went to ESU, as it were. I'm not sure what the mascot is, otherwise I'd go, you know, fighting whatever's right now. But I don't
question. Know. What is the mascot at the Empire State University?
It's better question. Certainly are canon information.
Are there mascots in the Marvel Universe?
Of course there are mascots in the Marvel Universe. Don't
I mean, but like, you got a dude who's a, you got...
Well, they have actual real-life teams in the Marvel Universe. Like, there's Yankees games, and they refer to the Knicks, and, like, every character is from New York, so they frequently mention various teams of the New York area.
It's weird to me how well that concept translates over to superheroes, though. Like, Spider-Man, go Spiders. You know what I'm saying? Like, Spider's got a little mask. God, that's weird to me now. Is there, like, a... no.
Well. See, Empire State University, officially Empire State University in the city of New York, is a private Ivy League research university in Upper Manhattan.
Does it say what their mascot is?
That's what I'm looking for.
I'd be surprised.
Captain America.
It's been an institution in the 616 continuity since the Silver Age, at least.
Apparently there is an actual Empire State College.
Impossible.
Yes, one Empire State College is one of 13 science, arts, and science colleges in the State University of New York, University of New York. The multi-site institution offering associates, bachelors, blah blah blah.
He does not get along well.
Now, let's see.
I don't think it's the same though.
Let's see. Apparently, Norman Osborn graduated there. Emma Frost.
Emma Frost.
Huh. According to Marvel.wiki.
Didn't know about Emma Frost or Norman Osborn.
Let's see. But I'm not seeing. Wow. Night Mask and Star Brand and Squirrel Girl.
Oh, yeah, Squirrel Girl goes there right now, I think.
Yeah,
she's a computer science major.
Huh.
Yep.
Nancy Whitehead and her cat, Mew.
That's Squirrel Girl's roommate. Looks like we're not finding it.
Yeah, well. I mean,
I'm surprised that that's. Surely it must have been mentioned in some comic books.
The school motto is Excelsior. Yeah.
Well, that's probably Stan Lee's hand that we can see in the.
You think?
As far as I'm aware, he was the one who created the fictional institution, so makes sense.
But yeah, I see no.
Well, anyway. In other news, though, I did go see Logan.
What'd you think?
It was pretty good. One of the better X-Men movies. Which I guess is setting a pretty low bar. It's a pretty good movie overall. I like how it got its R rating not just by ratcheting up the gore, although there was plenty of that, but rather it was more of a tonal shift for the R rating. Everything was kind of, not necessarily cruel, but very bleak and unforgiving.
Yeah, I could see that. If you didn't see the last 30 minutes of the movie, it'd be kind of depressing movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
they do have
it did
a,
have a upswing towards the end, but really it's...
Yeah. In my opinion, though, there's like My big issue walking out of the theater, though, was, minor spoiler alert, there's at least a couple of instances where Wolverine's like, hey, we should leave now. Like, no, no, let's stay the night. They should have left right the fuck then. It would have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah.
They knew people were after them, so I feel like Wolverine had the right instinct in saying, let's just leave now. Let's not...
But, you know, you could say that with almost any Marvel movie or any movie in general. There's almost always...
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's someone outside that goes, how about we not go in the spooky house?
Okay, that's true. That's true. It's a horror movie trope, but I feel like it's not like an ever-present movie thing, though. In this specific instance, they knew that they were being tracked. They knew that they would get caught up to eventually. So, yeah, right, leave so, right yeah. now. What? Sleep in the
yeah,
car.
Yeah, stay moving. Yeah. You know, rotate and all that other stuff.
Yeah, apparently when they reveal later that the kid can drive just fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and just... And then at the very end...
Ears itching a little there.
I feel like these aren't major spoilers, but, like, at the very, very end, yeah, leave now. Don't wait until the morning. They make a lot of problems for themselves just with that one extra night of staying in both instances. But that's my biggest complaint about the movie, but I feel like that's...
One more spoiler, earmuffs. No, the kid does. Whenever it comes to the kids actually know what they're doing. They do leave now. They don't wait the extra night. Both cases. You know, Logan's hurt. She grabs Logan and goes. And then, they wake up, and Logan wakes up, and the kids are already gone. Boom, they're halfway across the country.
Yeah, but he was saying to them, you know, why are you guys staying in one spot right now? The extra hours head start they would have gotten by leaving that night would have made all the difference.
Fair enough.
But whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Great.
But there's definitely always instances, you could say, with any movie, if they had a cell phone or...
That's usually true. And I think it's a mark of a good movie where, at the very least, that doesn't occur to me immediately. There's probably several movies that I like quite a bit where if you sit down and analyze every little facet of it, oh, well, they really should have done this instead of that. But
right.
I feel like the mark of a good movie is, at the very least, making it plausible. If that doesn't occur to me while I'm watching it, I feel like it's not much of an issue.
Yeah. I mean, you start getting into the cheesy movie when especially with horror movies, you go, and now you're going to die, you know.
But I can tell that's what you're getting. You know what you're getting into with a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that they're going to make all the dumb mistakes and get their heads chopped off. That's kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
Well. But no, I mean, as much as I was just kind of griping on it, it was a good movie. Good way for it to end for Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart.
Worth seeing in the theater?
Worth seeing in the theater, I'd say.
Yeah. There you go. Worth seeing in the theater.
Although, if you're going in worrying about where it fits in the continuity, I will say don't necessarily worry about that. Because I don't think... I'm not sure how canon this movie is. Although I'm not sure how canon any of the X-Men movies are.
Actually, I think it's as canon as any other.
Well, if so, that's a pretty downbeat way for all the X-Men sagas to end.
That's a segue. All
right. So what?
The next trilogy.
Okay. Well, this takes place very much after all those others, though.
Right. Okay, so... Days of Future Past took place in far, far future alternate reality, which was erratic by the end of the movie.
Yes, but I feel like it would have... They mentioned the timeline for this movie is like in the 2020s. They explicitly mentioned that. I feel like that would have been around the same time for Days of Future Past's alternate future.
It would have been a little after, but yeah.
Comparable, right. At least.
Yes, but...
And they also...
They fixed it.
They also explicitly mentioned the mutants were wiped out here just by vaccination. There are no more mutants because some guy figured out a way to give people shots so they don't have the mutant gene anymore. Which means that the Sentinel thing obviously did not happen.
Right. They fixed that.
Okay.
But that is actually the end of the first trilogy.
Look,
because that was the deal. They had a vaccination that cured. That's it. X-Men Last Stand. This takes place after the end of Days of Future Past, the scene where they're all back at the school.
Yeah, but that was the new continuity.
Right, right. This takes place after that. And that
so,
new continuity...
Again, that brings you back to my original point. That's a shitty way for all this to end.
But it's set up. The stars of the new trilogy are at the end of the movie.
I really don't think they're going to go that way. I would be flabbergasted if the new continuity is these little corporate bat mutants and X-23 be their leader. I just cannot see them doing that. Especially since they're already making another X-Men movie that has nothing to do with them.
What's the next X-Men movie?
I think they're going to change the name, but it was supposedly going to be called Supernova, and they are working on it right now. And I do know that it has nothing to do with the Logan timeline. So, again, back to this. The continuity is fucked. Bottom line. Although that is a genuine X-Men experience, so hey, good on them.
Well, here's the question, is whether or not, because the last of the days, our first class trilogy.
Yeah, Apocalypse.
All right. Kind of implied that there's room for a trilogy in between after Apocalypse and before the first 2004 X-Men movie.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going with.
So, I still say this takes place after the original trilogy.
Sure. But, again, the original point, you mightn't be right, but, again, it's a really, really, really unpleasant way for it to all go down.
It is. But, I'm just saying, we'll see a X-23 trilogy at some point.
I wouldn't bet on that, but maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think like the odds are more likely for Marvel just to take their shit back before that ever gets off the ground.
Well, it's not Marvel's
choice. Marvel
not
taking their shit back, Marvel getting their shit back before that ever comes to fruition.
Well, not as long as they're making money with it. Yeah.
Logan, I think, did pretty well, but Apocalypse, as far as I'm aware, underperformed, right?
Right. So, but it can underperform and still be profitable.
True. But...
because so much of the movie, they make so much money on merchandising and stuff like that as well.
I think technically Amazing Spider-Man turned a profit, but they still ended up having...
Right, I mean...
that go back to Marvel, in a sense.
Well, you know, Sony leased it.
Yeah.
Sony still has the rights.
I'm aware.
So they're actually leasing them back to Disney. So... whatever the profit it made is not going to be equal. What they obviously figured didn't equal the profit share they would get from a Disney movie.
Well, they probably just realized that they didn't have much goodwill engendered for if they continued the Amazing Spider-Man franchise, and they probably also realized that a movie with Spider-Man in it, one of the three most popular superheroes in the world, should have gotten them more money than it was getting them.
Right. They clearly weren't doing well with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case with X-Men.
Probably not.
They've never showed any...
Although I do think that the success of things like Logan and Deadpool are not something they can bank on too heavily, because Logan... is a unique situation where this was Hugh Jackman's swan song. It was, you know,
yeah. So
it was like kind of a big build up with 20 years with him working on that character. So I don't think they can recreate the success of Logan. Deadpool maybe,
But. Well, and definitely, I'm sure Deadpool 2 will make plenty of money. And depending on that, even if Deadpool 2 bombs, there's probably going to be a 3. Because even if it's, even if Deadpool 2 is horrible, yeah, I'm sure enough people will go on it just the power of. Now,
yeah, the first movie created a lot of good faith for the second one. I'm sure it'll make bukus in its opening weekend, if nothing else.
Indeed.
No, and I hope I hope that it's great. Well, I want to ask a question about that. They certainly earned the benefit of the doubt from the first one, and I know it's not going to have the same director, but I do think that Ryan Reynolds is being very micromanaging with all this, and I have reason to believe it'll be good.
Yeah, I think he is going to, he's found a role that fits him, and he may be looking at the next, you know, iconic Marvel X-Men character that somebody redefines the character. You know, I mean, you know, Hugh Jackman redefined what most people thought of as Wolverine. You know?
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Reynolds is doing that for Deadpool.
What's kind of funny is, like, probably the majority of people who know the character from the movie don't realize that he's actually really, really short.
Yeah.
Like, 5 feet tall short.
Are we talking about Wolverine?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Hugh Jackman's, like, 6'1", 6'2", something like that.
Yeah.
And they do not make any effort to make him shorter for the movies.
Well, yeah.
So, fun making that. Oh, well.
Which I didn't appreciate because that's a character point for Wolverine.
Say what?
Which I didn't appreciate because that's a character point for Wolverine. Like, that's part of his design is that he is a small, ferocious person.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. A small, ferocious creature just like a Wolverine.
I'll let that one go for the movies because that would kind of look a little hokey on the screen.
They could have gotten Tom Cruise.
Well, I don't think Tom Cruise would agree to appear as his actual height.
That's yeah.
They go out of their way to make him appear taller than he actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, out of all the X-Men movies, which one, I wonder, was the worst performing?
Well, I suppose you could look that up.
I would assume X3.
X3 made a lot more money than the first two did.
Really?
I think so, at least its opening weekend.
Let's see.
I mean, Spider-Man 3 was, like, the biggest opening for its time, and that was, you know, very poorly received.
Yeah. And so
The third part of a trilogy gets to cheat, in a sense, because it gets to ride the coattails of the first two.
Ironically, as far as all of the X-Men movies with out of X-Men, X2, X-Men Last Stand, X-Men Origins, X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, and X-Men Apocalypse, The Last Stand had the highest opening weekend.
Yep.
Huh.
So, yeah. Which... Was there more to the X-Men Origins trilogy? Was that a trilogy or just Wolverine on that one?
I think they intended to make more, but I think they just made the Wolverine. Like, there was talk for a while of making a Magneto solo movie, but that never came out. That was probably just eventually what we got with First Class anyway. But...
And actually, it did more with Logan's opening weekend, too. It did $109 million.
Huh.
Just because something isn't good doesn't mean it doesn't make bank.
Yeah, yep. So...
Yeah, top 40 radio.
Yeah. Oh, don't be such a hipster.
But, so, I mean...
Speaking of things not being particularly good, I did get started on Iron Fist, which is not the catastrophe that a lot of the reviews were making it out to be.
I've been hearing a lot of people hate on that.
Yeah, okay, I don't... I guess to some extent it's kind of the Batman v Superman effect where it's pretty bad, but it's not like this sin against nature that a lot of people are making it out to be.
I don't think it was awesome, but at the same, like, I enjoyed it. Like, I binged it in a weekend. I liked it.
I had not finished it yet. I'd only watched the first few episodes. Although that being said, so far my impression is that it's Daredevil light.
Okay.
It's
in what sense?
They're both going for, like, kind of the gritty fight vibe type of thing, but, and I get that they're going at it from a different angle. Like, Danny Rand is not doing the whole,
yeah, he's not like
dual
a
dual identity type of thing as yeah. much,
and he's not doing the, like, the dark and grizzled pat. Like, I mean, like, he's almost he comes in the series as almost like a child, you know, like he's,
and that's actually, I think, a knock against it, is he is really naive,
yeah,
to the point of being foolish.
Fair. I don't know. It's endearing. It's, I mean, it's a totally different
angle.
I don't
think it's that bad, but yeah. I will say, though, that I can't get over Ward Meacham. I keep picturing him as Donald Trump Jr. They look alike, and they're both kind of like,
yes, you know, that is they succeeded with that character.
Yeah, they're both kind of just a caricature of what you think a corporate scumbag would be like. I mean, especially like the part where like. Okay, episode 4 spoiler. Danny is back in the gets back at the head of the company, and he insists that they start selling a drug at cost so that it can get out to people sooner rather than them hold on to it and make a lot of money out of it. Anyway, Donald Trump Jr. calls up a reporter, and he's like talking to her, and he's like, for some reason, he thinks that she's going to be on his side when he complains about having to do the drug at cost. What the hell was he thinking with that one?
Oh, I think it's actually the opposite of that entirely. I think it was the case that he was what it looked like within the series was like that was an act he was intending to get the reporter to put out like a good name of like, oh yeah, Danny Rand is turning the company around kind of a deal. That's what I got from it.
Okay.
Like,
if not, then he does come across as a bit of a buffoon when he's like, you know,
and then he insisted that we give this medicine to children. Can right, you believe that buffoon? You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I think that was like he was putting on an act for the reporter so that way she wouldn't second guess like this information that she's getting, or she wouldn't be suspicious of like, why is he telling her this thing? Like, it was a PR move, I think. That's what it looked like that's what I got from whenever I watched that whole thing.
I'll take your word for it, but
yeah.
He did, however, try to have Danny killed at least on two separate occasions, but Danny's still like, oh, well, bygones be bygones.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly like super naive, like optimistic to the point of it being a fault. Like, yeah, it's a character thing, I think. Yeah. But I think it's really nice to have this contrast because you see somebody who's just like this, just like, not super jaded, not super dark, grizzled, or anything like that. Just a powerful, nice, and innocent kind of fella, and then just, you know, being super taken advantage of. There's a storyline that we hadn't up to this point really seen too much of. Everybody else in the Netflix Marvel arena are all just like, you know, dark, grizzled badasses, and you know, they've. Yeah, and it's I mean, between Cage, Jessica Jones, the Punisher, Frank Castle, Daredevil. I'm sorry, it's like everybody has this like tragic past, you know, and it's just like this dark. They're all Batman kind of a thing, you know. You're not getting that story here.
Yeah, although Danny does have his own tragic past, well, with, you know, his parents dying in front of him and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I haven't seen the Iron Fist, of course, now, because I don't have the Netflix.
I started a free trial.
Wow. It doesn't compare favorably to the other Netflix shows for the most part, although they have their faults as well that usually get glossed over, but. Yeah, it's a solid watch. If you have a Netflix account, I mean, there's worse things you could be watching, which I guess is not a ringing endorsement, but you know, still.
On the harkening back to the early, for the most part, according to Box Office Mojo, the worst X-Men movie is The Wolverine.
In terms of money.
In terms of what it made, yeah.
That's odd. I thought it was one of the better ones.
Yeah, but X-Men, the other than that, but even that one made $132 million, you know. Yeah, so the rest of them, which, have all gone up. So really, they made $2 billion off the franchise. And most of them have made money. So it's one of those things. They might make their budget back in the theater, but, they still sell toys and all that other stuff. So they'll probably keep it going as long as they can.
Yeah. Just keep advertising it.
But, of course, Deadpool. Yeah, it's the most.
All right, well, hearkening it forward. Have you watched any of the Marvel series that have been out?
On Netflix?
Correct.
No.
Okay.
They are pretty good. My favorite one is Daredevil.
Season one is,
Season I saw one is my favorite a episode of that.
It's fantastic, just, I think.
They do really good character work on Daredevil. Kingpin is my favorite villain. And Matt Murdock, they do good work with him. Although... most people would agree that when they get sidetracked with all the magic ninja stuff, that's not the best part of the show.
True. I think you see
magic ninjas aren't the best part of the show.
The hand.
Yeah, they're like, but you see a lot more of that in season two than you do in season one.
Yeah. Season two peaked early.
Yeah.
With the stuff with the Punisher towards the beginning was the best part of that season, and the rest of it, well, not bad, just did not have a favorable comparison to the first show.
Yeah. What do you feel like is the worst out of these series?
The worst one?
The worst of the Marvel Netflix series.
Probably. I haven't seen it all yet, but I guess Iron Fist.
Well, and see...
And again, like, it's kind of the same thing with their movies where, like... a quote-unquote bad MCU film is still a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with
that. Your Thors and your Incredible Hulks and things. They're not bad movies. They're just not their best.
Well, and Daredevil was the first one, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they had to start with... It was a new thing. They had to start pretty strong with that.
They did.
I feel like that logic is like, what? So it's like, we got our foot in the door. Let's just put out some shit now. I like to hope that's not the case.
I'd say not. Like, man, I think that they followed up very well. I loved Jessica Jones. Like, I know it doesn't get great reviews, but, man, I thought
I've seen a lot of good reviews for it.
Well, what I'm saying is it's the one they use to sell people on the idea of not, being a kiddie franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
But Luke Cage was pretty solid, but I feel like it needed more forward momentum. Like, it seems like it was kind of muddling around for most of the time.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is hard to watch, though. Not in the sense that it's bad, not by any stretch.
No, but it touches on some really dark, like...
Yeah.
There are some, rape victim undertones that are on there, like...
Oh, very overt, I thought. Not really undertones at all.
Yeah, like, it's...
Very, very explicit.
Isn't that her character, though?
Yeah.
Yes, her character is a rape victim.
Yeah, it is.
We mentioned a couple weeks ago on the podcast, Purple Man, Kilgrave, David Tennant's character. The one who can make you do anything. Not only does he do that to murder people, he also effectively makes people sex slaves for extended periods of time. They do not shy away from the horrifying implications of a guy who can make you do anything at all just by talking to you.
Yeah. It's great. Like I said, I'm more than willing to let you borrow my trial. It is... I would rank I'll rank.
Not that we endorse that sort of thing.
Oh no, absolutely not. I will endorse the heck out of some art, even if it touches on some crazy subjects, but still.
No, I mean endorse the sharing free trials.
Oh, it's a free trial. Yeah. Okay, anyway. But I would say they're all solid watches. I would rank highest to lowest, like best to I don't know, least favorable. Daredevil season one, I think is the best. Then Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage. I'd put Iron Man in the slot after that.
Surely you meant Iron Fist.
Iron Fist, excuse me. Sorry, Iron Fist, then Daredevil Season 2, Punisher, rock bottom down there. Yeah.
But Punisher was only existed in Daredevil Season 2 that I'm aware of.
Oh, no, there is a Punisher, like a whole Punisher Netflix series. Hang on a second.
I hadn't thought they had made that yet.
Hang on a second. I'll look. Let's consult the internet.
Let's.
I mean, are we sure it was a Disney Punisher one?
Well, I mean, they made that really bad Punisher movie.
Movies. Well, those are both terrible.
I never saw Punisher Warzone, but the one where John Travolta was the bad guy was pretty bad.
So, let's see. Yeah, I don't think it's been made yet.
Yeah, I thought they were in the process of making it, perhaps.
Yeah, let's see. Punisher TV series is an upcoming American web television by Netflix.
Oh, excuse me. Well, then never mind. But I don't know. I guess I was confused because Daredevil Season 2 felt like Punisher Season 1.
In a sense, it was. The first half was arguably more about the Punisher than Daredevil. And even the second half had a lot of Punisher plot threads running through it.
Pardon my confusion.
Eh, no worries.
Yeah.
But
you shall forever be convicted in the court of public appeal. Our public opinion, sorry.
Whatevs. But in other news, Samurai Jack's still going strong.
I still haven't gotten any episodes of that.
This most recent episode from last week was genuinely one of the best from the series, I think. There's this cool, like, cat-and-mouse thing where Jack's been cornered by those daughters of Aku that were introduced in the first episode of this season, and him kind of ducking them and fighting his way through them and things. It was very visceral, very well done stuff. I think we can say that Samurai Jack has come back and it is true to form, and you should definitely be watching it. Even if you haven't seen the previous stuff, it's excellent stuff. Just it overall. Although it probably wouldn't mean as much to you if you don't at least know the premise of Samurai Jack going in, that he's, you know, trapped in the future and has been trying to thwart Aku for quite a while now.
Yeah. She couldn't help but notice you said the word whatevs.
Are we still stuck on that, Larry? I'm trying to stay hip to the scene, man. I'm trying to use the vernacular of the kids these days.
I use that word every so often just to annoy my wife. Whatevs and totes.
My goats.
Totes,
my goats.
Stop being cray-cray, Larry.
So the Samurai Jack resurgence, do you think we have any chance of seeing any of the other Cartoon Network favorites? Any of Dexter's Lab reboots?
Probably not.
I'm still waiting on the reboot.
I mean, as far as I can tell, the Powerpuff Girls one was poorly received, as far as I can tell, by most folks. And I feel like things like Dexter's Lab, things like, I don't know, Cow and Chicken, Johnny Bravo,
Yeah. They
do not particularly need to be revived, just because they weren't, like, telling... It was just, like... Those were sitcoms, right?
Yeah.
Here's your basic premise, and here's the wacky hijinks. Whereas Samurai Jack had a... Each episode was self-contained for the most part, but there was a larger quest that he was on that never got fulfilled.
That's true.
And so that's one of the reasons I think that Samurai Jack really needed some closure. Whereas these others, you know, I feel like they're fine.
Yeah.
Especially since Dexter's Lab kind of turned to shit towards the end anyway.
Yeah.
They, like, redid the animation style, and they started doing crap with Mandark's parents and crap.
Yeah.
And it was just silly.
It was pretty rough. I always wanted a reboot of well, I don't feel like it would have been good. It would be as good now, but man, 5 years ago, in the height of the Walking Dead craze and the American Horror Story craze, I know American Horror Story is still running now, but as far as like whenever it was, it seemed as though the semi horror kind of overtones in popular media was just like the thing to do. I felt like Courage the Cowardly Dog as a remake would have been awesome. Awesome. I loved that show.
Well, that does bring back fond memories. Mm-hmm. Although that show actually did have a conclusion, if I remember correctly. There was, like, the big final battle against his, like, rogues gallery. And he defeated them all by screaming really loudly at them.
Yeah, but...
What about Rocco's Modern Life?
That was a good show.
That was Nickelodeon, man. Get that out of here.
On the nostalgia train. Yeah.
There's plenty of good Nickelodeon shows. My favorite cartoon of all time was a Nickelodeon show.
Rugrats?
No, Avatar the Last Airbender.
Oh. Rugrats. It was
although
good,
I
man.
Will say Rugrats wasn't bad. It was pretty good.
I went to go see the movie, and I went to Burger King whenever the movie was out when they were promoting the movie, and I got the little orange mixtape that they made for your toy. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Thanks, man.
But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of quality Nickelodeon shows.
Take it to your fetish con.
And if not for Nickelodeon, we wouldn't have had a show which they honest to God named Angry Beavers.
I forgot about
it.
That
was a pretty
Angry
solid
Beavers.
Show.
Yep.
And we wouldn't have Alanis Morissette.
Really? I didn't realize she got her start at Nickelodeon.
Can't do that on television.
I did not
oh
realize.
My gosh, if we're talking about Nickelodeon, Kenan and Kel, son.
Oh, I think that like left on a cliffhanger, didn't it?
It very well may have.
Like, Kenan moved away or something, and Kel's like, oh man, he's gone, and then just like, I never saw a conclusion to that, at least. But, well.
That shows up.
I can't do that on television, you know, I didn't realize it back then. But looking back at it now, it's like, they very much were trying to rip off some Monty Python-style stuff, you know.
Monty Python.
Oh, all that.
I do remember all that.
I remember it.
It was like Saturday Night Live for kid sensibilities. Not the worst.
Legend of the Forbidden Temple or something like that?
Hidden Temple.
Man,
Hidden Temple.
No. I loved Legend of the Hidden Temple. That's some good shit. Right
what was there. The game where like they'd make them run in the video game or whatever? It was a game show. Yeah, they.
I don't
forget what it was
one.
Called, but
there was another obstacle course thing called Double Guts.
Not Double Dare. What?
There
you
was
say?
Double Dare, but there was also a show called Guts.
No, there's
like made kids run in obstacle courses.
This was like it was almost like a Jeopardy style show.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
No, but I remember that. But in the end of it, yeah, they'd have to do some little challenges every once in a while. But at the end of it, they'd have to run through this. They'd put on like a little VR helmet, and they'd have to run through this platformer type level, and they'd try and score points.
You know, I swear I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what
and,
it's called.
You know, of course, I don't know what they were going through, because they were running and jumping and whatever, I assume, on a green screen. But you would basically see them in a Mario-esque level. Now, but I can't remember what it was called for the life of me.
Yeah. But Legends of the Hidden Temple, though, like, when I was a kid, those freaking temple guards were scary as shit. Like jump out at you with their face paint and like abduct children and like drag them into like the backstage recesses.
Uh-huh. Should have done your homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motherfucker should have gotten that immunity charm.
Well, I mean, wasn't there one team that never won?
I swear there was. Like I remember like they started showing it on some like spin-off channel recently. Well, not recently, like I guess it was back when I was in high school. And so I ended up like watching several episodes one weekend, and I remember noting I don't think I've ever once seen this one team win. I think it was like the orange team maybe.
Yeah.
Like, they never won. Apparently, you can buy those T-shirts now.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Get your nostalgia on.
Oh, who was the host of all of them? Yeah, it seemed like it was the same guy.
I don't remember. He was just, like, generic brown hair khaki guy. I don't remember. He didn't leave much of an impression, to be honest. More people probably remember.
Nickelodeon Arcade. That's what it was. Oh. Nick Arcade.
I'm glad we settled that. No, but no, there was some good shit on Nickelodeon. Although, if I had to pick one, I'd probably have picked Cartoon Network when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Although, again, Avatar, I think, is the best cartoon ever made, so... Oh, well.
But, yeah.
Is it baking next door again?
I definitely watched Legend of the Hidden Temple and thought that was fun. And now, of course, Double Dare and all that jazz. Yeah, watched a bunch of those. Yeah. But. Yeah, I don't know. Do they still do game shows?
I have no idea.
I mean, in Japan.
Like on Nickelodeon.
I think they were talking about reviving Legends of the Hidden Temple at one point, although I'm not sure if anything came of that.
They did well with Legends of the Hidden Temple, and I wonder how much of those shows were rigged. I really wonder.
Is nothing sacred, Larry? Can't some things just be, you know, pure and innocent without corporate meddling? I mean, honestly, like, what are these kids? These kids didn't even, like, win anything noteworthy, did they? I mean, they maybe got, like, a vacation or something?
Is a vacation not noteworthy?
Like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, no, not really. In terms of monetary value, at least, to the point where...
Not as awesome as that Legend of the Hidden Temple's t-shirt.
Nothing's as awesome as Legend of the Hidden Temple t-shirt. Although, sadly, anyone who got to keep theirs can certainly not wear it anymore.
Never mind, that's...
Yeah, there may be some sad, lonely person living in their parents' basement who peaked when they were 10, you know, overweight, stretching out their same t-shirt they've been wearing for the past 20 years.
Wow, that's some dark shit, man.
Wow.
Oh, well.
Reeks slightly of sadness. Cheese doodles.
Speaking of nostalgia and sadness, as Power Rangers comes out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Good segue.
I'm
stoked, man.
I hope it's good. I mean, I'm not going to go see it in theaters in all likelihood.
I'm going to take the kid to it. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Or at least that's the intention. I don't know. I think he might be in Gulf Shores this weekend, but still.
No. It will probably be in theaters for at least 2 weeks.
I mean, I went to go see John Wick today, and that was well over a month ago that that came out. Which was pretty good, by the way.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like they kind of blackball Keanu Reeves a little. It seems like he doesn't get offered too much these days.
Well, I think... In this case, he was, like, a producer on it, I think, so any low paycheck he received was something he had a lot of say-so in. So, honestly, I don't know. Although, apparently, they made the first one, I know, really on the cheap. It had, like, no one you've ever heard of besides Keanu Reeves in it. It also had Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones in it. He was the only other guy you might have heard of. And I had to refer to him just now as Theon Greyjoy because I don't know what his real name is. I never will.
That's kind of rude. You could learn the man's name.
I'm not going to.
No respect.
Sorry, Theon Greyjoy. Whoever you might be.
Oh, well, it's been kind of a, I don't know, a bizarre, awkward podcast.
Well, it started off talking about getting pills for refilling his balls. So I guess we really couldn't spare it after that.
So, yeah.
Salvage it, brother.
We started out talking about Adam's balls. Are we going to end talking about his balls as well?
Might as well.
All right, well, is that your final thought, Adam's balls?
I'm going to come up with something else. Give me a moment. Oh, no, okay, I know a final thought. The fifth issue of the Unworthy Thor miniseries came out today, and it was quite good. And they also reveal what it was Nick Fury said that made Thor unworthy. And I think it was a pretty satisfactory reveal, which is kind of hard to pull off since they had been keeping this mum for, I think, close to 2 years now. At least a year and a half. Hmm. When did Original Sin come out?
It's been a minute, yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah, a good little while. It came out before Secret Wars, so...
Yeah.
It's been an extensive amount of time to build up the mystery here, and I think they pulled it off pretty well. So, that's my final thought. Congratulations to Jason Aaron. You continue to do excellent work with your Thor run.
My thought will be regarding that Power Rangers movie and seeing it with others. I think it's pretty cool nowadays that we've gotten to this point where, or I don't know if we've gotten to the point, maybe it's just the case that I've gotten to the point where I'm realizing it that much more. Geeks have this tendency to grow, and there's like, and fandom grows with us. And there's this unilateral, like, oh, I remember when we were kids, and we all think back on this cool time of nostalgia, and we all get to participate in these inside jokes that we form and stuff. I think it's cool, at least that I'm getting to this point now, and I don't know if other people are realizing it with all these retro movies that are harkening back to the days of old, or at least our old. Where, you know, we can share it with younger people. I think it's cool. Like, I'm going to be able to go see this Power Rangers movie with this kid that I mentor. I'm going to share a piece of, like, this is going to be a transition of history. Like, this was, Power Rangers was a big emotional thing for me as a kid because it was something that weird that me and my dad did together, you know? We watched Star Trek Next Generation and Power Rangers, and I thought he liked Power Rangers, which is why I watched Power Rangers with him, and it took us years to figure out neither of us were actually, like, that into it. I love the toys, though. But, yeah. But in any case, I mean, it's cool. It's just a cool thing to
share. Power Rangers is, it's like Thundercats and, like, you know, Ninja Turtles were... It has its charms.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but
yeah,
it's a harmless kind of stupid.
Truth.
It's an enjoyable kind of stupid.
And I think that it's cool that I get to share that stupid with a generation below me. I just think that's a really cool thing now.
That's,
we can
pretty cool.
Grow in a new generation of geek.
Cool stuff.
Pass.
How about you, Larry?
Well, other than, yeah, the ironic part of you saying you didn't care for Power Rangers and you sharing it with somebody else who's going to think you're really into Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean...
It seems like this is some sort of cycle.
It does kind of undercut the sentimentality when you're like saying, I can show this kid this thing that I think is kind of shit.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like, oh, I can
share the stupid with the next generation.
They, too, can enjoy this.
Yeah, well, you go into it. Well, everybody knows it's stupid. Like, it's a stupid thing. Five teenagers get superpowers and giant robots for no reason on top of their power. Like, it's stupid. But, like, we all geek out over the universal recognition thereof. It's all a big, I don't know.
I mean, it's, you know, silly poses and fighting giant monsters with Voltron. You know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know what it has to do with giant robots, but I did read that this is officially the first superhero movie with a gay superhero.
That's great, although I would not necessarily call this a superhero movie.
That Saban is calling it a superhero movie.
Okay.
And apparently one of the Rangers, one of the female Rangers, is a lesbian. And they apparently there's some lines of dialogue that discuss it or something. I don't know.
So this movie's going to be good for them.
So, but that's...
It's 2017.
Right.
People tend to be upset about these things.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm surprised it hasn't happened before. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I guess that is...
Yeah,
kind of a letdown that the first
it is
gay superhero is going to be one of the fucking Power Rangers. That's, I feel like mainstream superhero movies kind of drop the ball if they let them get the jump on that one.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
HQ's got a two-plus.
It's kind of an ode to the original Power Rangers.
1-3, it's a
original Power Rangers being in real life. Caught a lot of shit character set for
it.
I think that kind of leads into this to say, hey, we're sorry type thing.
Well.
Yeah, I did read about the Blue Ranger. The person, the gentleman that played the Blue Ranger was a gay man. And I guess while it doesn't fit with the plot of giant robots fighting space aliens, but it is, I guess, going to be somewhat of a coming of age type story. Star Trek gets, this reminds me, Star Trek gets a lot of credit for the first interracial kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And a thought occurred to me the other day. I love Lucy.
Yep.
Did Ricky ever kiss Lucy? In the, they were married.
Almost certainly.
You would think. I can't think of any particular... scene of Ricky kissing Lucy. But, I mean, he was Cuban. She was white. Doesn't that count as interracial?
Depending on who you ask, they might say no, actually. That's tricky, though. I mean, but surely they must have kissed at some point on that show. Although this was back when they had the twin beds. And,
I mean,
they more or less...
It was called Latin. I mean,
did not... really acknowledge either of them having a sex life. So maybe they didn't. I'd be surprised to learn that they didn't, but I guess it's within the realm of possibility. We'd have to look that one up, Larry. But I'm afraid we're out of time to do it now.
We are, but that is my question.
So
did Ricky
got some homework
ever,
this time, listeners.
Ever kiss? And if so, did it predate Star Trek?
It would have certainly predated Star Trek, because Star Trek came out in the 60s, whereas I Love Lucy was on in the 50s.
But they did a color version of I Love Lucy, where they had the kid and everything, too. Didn't that air some in the 60s as well?
Probably? Well, I'm stumped on this one, Larry. I can't recall a specific instance of the two of them kissing.
Wow.
Not going for a sucks with the army.
Well, interwebs, I leave you with that medical mystery or modern Marvel. I guess medical mystery is
neither
really...
one of those fits for what you're describing.
It really doesn't.
You've done a but poor they, job here.
It sounds so much smoother, medical mystery or modern Marvel. Not a television historical query.
We've left you with a quandary, I suppose.
There you go. Quandary, that's a good sounding word. Well,
good night, Elaine.
Good night. Check us out, Madison, Tennessee, Son of Maddie. Find us online, comicc2.com, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, LinkedIn, LinkedIn, whatever, GeoCities, Marvel, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Wherever the interwebs can be found, I'm sure you can find somebody bitching at Jules or Jules watching a Yankee game. Meanwhile, see you next week.
Bye-bye.